Welcome to Lunchtime Classics on 90.5 FM WUOL. Broadcasting live from WUOL's performance studio on 4th Street in downtown Louisville. Now, here's your host, Alan Brandt.
Hi, welcome to another live performance of Lunchtime Classics here on Classical 90.5. It's Wednesday at noon, and we'll be doing this for the next several Wednesdays until the season ends at the end of May. So check WUOL.org to find out the complete schedule. I'm very happy to welcome back a guest who's been here before and did a very fine concert last time, and we are very happy to welcome her back. And she will also be appearing as part of the Louisville Chorus production on Sunday, April 22nd, April 29th, at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in LaGrange, as they present the quintessential romantic mass, and she'll be soloing in part of that, the Vaughan Williams part. So please welcome back soprano Darlene Welch with pianist Teresa Davis.
Thank you so much for joining me here in the studio today or for listening wherever you happen to be. The program I'm going to be sharing with you today I've entitled Seasons of a Woman's Heart. It'll be a tour, if you will, through a romantic lifetime of a young lady from the time she's very young until she blossoms into a mature woman and she's found the man to whom she gives her heart. Having been a girl myself once, and having watched others travel through the same age, it seems that when young ladies get to be somewhere around 11 or 12, sometimes sooner, they begin to dream about finding the perfect boy, what he'll look like and what he'll be like. Usually, though, I think they're really more in love with being in love than anything else at that stage in life. This first song tells about that vague, restless feeling that comes when this lass realizes that she's getting ready for a change from ponytails and puppy dogs to teenage turmoil. It Might as Well Be Spring was written in 1945 and comes from the musical State Fair, the only score that Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote strictly for the movies. They were approached by 20th Century Fox to create a musical version of the original movie that had starred Will Rogers. In this first collaboration between the two, they created a wonderful set of songs that included Our State Fair, All I Owe, Iowa, and It's a Grand Night for Singing. It Might as Well Be Spring won Rodgers and Hammerstein an Oscar for Best Song. In it, Jean Crane finds a way to express her longings for something different in her life. Just like Mama says, I sit around. Well, soon it's time to graduate from high school, probably attend a college or a university to prepare for what she thinks might be her life's work. This next song gives a picture of what an exhilarating time in life this is when new things appear around every corner. Something's Coming from West Side Story was written by Leonard Bernstein, composer, conductor, pianist, teacher, humanitarian, thinker, entertainer, and adventurous spirit. I remember watching his young people's concerts and marveling at Bernstein's ability to explain music's inner workings and to make music so real to everyone who watched this amazing man. This 1957 musical, for which he collaborated with Stephen Sondheim, Jerome Robbins, and Arthur Lawrence, had a transforming influence on the Broadway musical and was later made into an Academy Award-winning movie in 1961. In this show, the young man Tony actually sings this song, but I'm borrowing it today because it shows so well the excitement of being young and having your whole life spreading out before you. By now, our young ladies had plenty of time to form a pretty clear image of what she's looking for in her young man. The list can be long as she considers what he should look like, what kind of personality he should have, and most of all, how she will feel when she's by his side. Our next song helps us to sum up all of those qualifications for her. My White Knight from The Music Man recaptures the innocent charm of Middle America. The music, lyrics, and book were all written by Robert Reininger Meredith Wilson. Did you know he had that many names? And it reflected the experiences he had growing up in a small town of Mason City, Iowa. This show, the creation of which spanned 8 years and over 30 rewrites before it was produced on Broadway, opened in 1957 and marked Wilson's debut in the theater. The cast album for this show won the first ever Grammy Award. The show also won 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical Author, Best Composer, and Best Lyricist. Wilson went on to write The Unsinkable Molly Brown and Here's Love, which was a musical adaptation of Miracle on 34th Street, and included what has become a Christmas staple, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas, that was made famous by Perry Como. My White Knight. As any woman knows, when you're young and think you're in love, there's generally a special target that you've picked out to focus your affections on. But then he gets restless and moves on. You can pine for a while, but then it's time to pull yourself back together and see what other adventures life has in store. Many a New Day points out just that. This song from the musical Oklahoma is the second collaboration for Rodgers and Hammerstein after they finished State Fair. But it's the first that was presented on Broadway before being made into a film version with Shirley Jones and Gordon McRae. It recently celebrated its 50th anniversary. Hammerstein had collaborated with Jerome Kern on Showboat in 1927, a musical that would forever change musical theater and establish the musical as a truly American art form. But he was able, through his work on Oklahoma with Richard Rodgers, as never before, to totally integrate the book, the lyrics, the music, and the staging, while adding the elaborate dance choreography of Agnes DeMille. That not only entertained, but it helped to move the story along. After its opening in 1943 in New York, audiences left the theater humming the fabulous tunes from Oklahoma and eagerly looked forward to other shows that this dynamic duo would create and produce over their partnership that lasted for many years, giving birth to 9 stage plays, many movie adaptations, and the TV classic Cinderella. Many a new day.
Why should a woman who is healthy and strong blubber like a baby if her man goes away? A weeping and a wailing, how he done her wrong. That's one thing you'll never hear me say. Never gonna think that the man I lose is the only man among men. I'll snap my fingers to show it.
There's a word we don't hear much anymore to describe young ladies who aren't quite so young, but they're still not married. And that is, quote, old maid. There was a time when women didn't have a lot of options as to careers outside the home, maybe teaching school or keeping books for their father's business or something like that. The next song shows how aware the woman in our story today is of the whispering that goes on behind her back when they think she can't hear in regard to her so far inability to find Mr. Right. Old Maid is from 110 in the Shade, a show written by Tom Jones and Harvey Schmidt. After their long-running off-Broadway hit, The Fantastics, Jones and Harvey went on to produce 110 in the Shade on Broadway. The show was based on N. Richard Nash's play, The Rainmaker, and which is probably best remembered for the movie version that starred Katharine Hepburn and Burt Lancaster. It's a simple tale of Lizzie, an aging, unmarried woman who lives with her father and her brothers on a drought-stricken ranch in the American West. Starbuck, a transient rainmaker, comes on the scene and is soon recognized to be the charlatan that he is, despite his dazzling charisma. He does pay somewhat sincere attention to Lizzie, however, and awakens love and life in her again. In the meantime, she realizes that there's no real future with him, and she marries a local, reliable suitor instead. During Old Maid, listen closely, and you will hear some desperation setting in for the woman in our story as she struggles to not listen to the opinions of others.
There's nothing else to to your poor Aunt Lizzie. Her nerves are none too good. She brings you a present when she comes. Kiss her like you should. Be thoughtful and sweet and proper until she goes away. She's been here a week and a half today. When will she ever go?
There's an old saying that Capital One has sort of latched onto in one of its recent commercials. Before you meet your handsome prince, you have to kiss a lot of toads. Remember the one where he keeps, you know, the animals keep turning into something different every time she gives him a kiss? That's the point where we are in our story today. Desperation is leading our heroine to pare down her list a little bit when it comes to criteria for picking out her fellow. Steal Me, Sweet Thief is from The Old Maid and the Thief by Giancarlo Menotti, who also gave us the well-loved Amahl and the Night Visitors, which has become a holiday classic in many areas. Menotti wrote the music and libretto for The Old Maid and the Thief, his first that he wrote in English, on April 22, 1939. It was originally written to be performed as a radio opera for the National Broadcasting Company. Later, it was presented as a stage play by the Philadelphia Opera Company on February 11, 1941, and it tells the story of Miss Todd and her maid, Letitia, who, after offering refuge to a stranger who's traveling through town, begin to believe that he's an escaped convict because he matches the description that's been broadcast on the radio. Things go downhill from there, but in the meantime, Letitia begins to see him as the answer to her, here's that word again, old maid problems. This is Steal Me, Sweet Thief.
Smile.
this point, the woman in our story has finally come to realize that all of her plans and dreams and the lists she made for herself to firm up her idea of the perfect husband aren't really all that important after all. She's gone from, maybe 10 pages down to part of a post-it note. And so she is beginning to focus in on the really important things. Not out of desperation anymore, but she realizes that those things aren't really what's important after all. And she thinks back over her life's experiences and begins to understand that it's the simple little things that are important. In this song, Simple Little Things, once again from 110 in the Shade, we hear the most compelling necessities that she's looking for in someone with whom she will share her life. Unlike the list we heard in My White Knight, she now says there doesn't even have to be a shining knight to kneel before her. She'll just be happy with simple little things.
Thank you.
Just when she thinks that's never going to happen, the perfect suitor comes along and she's ecstatic. And there's only one problem. He doesn't know it yet. The medley that follows puts together the thoughts from Secret Love, which comes from Calamity Jane, by Paul Francis Webster and Sammy Fain, along with I Talk to the Trees from Paint Your Wagon by Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe. This latter team is known for their many delightful musicals, including My Fair Lady, Camelot, and Brigadoon. In their movie versions, Secret Love was sung by Doris Day, and it became a popular song over the radio back in its day. The other one, I Talk to the Trees, was sung in the movie by none other than Clint Eastwood. Did you hear the wedding bells ringing in the background? Now the woman in our story is a married lady. We're at the beginning of their wonderful life together, and she can only see the stars in his eyes. as she's looking at him with the stars in hers. And she sings this, what a wonderful man she's taken for her husband. And This Is My Beloved is an old but beautiful tune from Kismet, which was adapted from Edward Knobloch's play and was first presented in New York in 1911 as a vehicle for Otis Skinner. The music in Kismet was adopted from themes by Alexander Borodin from such works as the Polovetsian Dances and In the Steppes of Central Asia. The musical's action takes place within a 24-hour period in and around ancient Baghdad, where the characters get themselves into all sorts of Arabian Night-type adventures. And This Is My Beloved. As the marriage progresses, our wife finds that things aren't always as perfect as she'd hoped they would be. But she also realized that she's developed a deep personal relationship with this man she calls her husband, and that there's a bond between them that lets one feel the other's pain, even when not a word is spoken. You're Still You was written by actress Linda Thompson and Ennio Morricone, the latter of which is famous for his stirring and sometimes haunting movie scores. Some of the best known of these are his scores for A Fistful of Dollars, The Mission, The Untouchables, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. His work has often been cited for its wit, inventiveness, and quirky instrumentation. This particular song was adapted from the score of the movie Malena.
I can see you.
lot more water's gone under the bridge of life by now, and our wife is willing to admit that things aren't always quite as smooth as she'd hoped they would be. But with the struggles and the pain have come strength and a stronger relationship. Closer Than Ever, from an off-Broadway review by the same name, was written by Richard Maltby Jr. and David Shire. Shire, a prolific composer who divides his time between theater, television, and film, composed the music for the television remake of Rear Window that starred Christopher Reeve. This is Closer Than Ever. Our last song for today comes much later, when perhaps our wife has been asked by her husband, maybe on a day when he's feeling a little down about himself, why she ever picked him in the first place. This wonderful piece, Why Did I Choose You, is from the musical The Yearling by Herbert Martin and Michael Leonard. Its story comes from the children's book of the same name by Marjorie Kennan Rawlings. It tells the tender story of a young boy who adopts an orphaned fawn, and it also tells about the hardships that his family faces while trying to make it in 19th century backwoods Florida. Why Did I Choose You?
You're listening to Classical 90.5, and we've just heard the voice of soprano Darlene Welch and Teresa Davis, piano here. Teresa, wonderful job. Darlene and Teresa, wonderful job. You just did a song cycle here. That's pretty good for one person to...
A song cycle, I guess you'd call
for
it.
A voice that I know I'm having trouble with my voice right now with the sinus infection, and it's going around. It must be difficult for a soprano to keep
this
away
is
from
a hard place to live if you don't want to have allergies, but I still love it. I grew up here in Louisville and have lived here all my life and just love the area.
Well, it's very good to have you back, and you'll be taking part in the Louisville Chorus concert coming up on Sunday at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church. It's called the Quintessential Romantic Mass, but it's by several different composers. That's an interesting concept.
That's correct. We've combined something by Beethoven, Bruckner. I can't remember all of them right now. Schubert, there's a Schubert piece. There's a Vaughan Williams piece. And Gounod.
Gounod's Mass.
And we've taken different Mass settings. And like one is the Kyrie, the next one is the Gloria, and so on.
Mm-hmm. And that's, again, coming up on Sunday at 4 p.m. at in LaGrange, 502 North 5th Street. And the phone number is 502-968-6300. You've been listening to Lunchtime Classics with soprano Darlene Welch and Teresa Davis. Is there anything else you'd like to mention, Darlene?
Well, not that I can think of right offhand. I mean, my voice is a gift from God. I enjoy it thoroughly, and I'm thankful that He gives me opportunities to use it.
Well, grateful to have you able to come here and give not only the performance but your commentary, too, which is always... I find interesting, and you're welcome to come back anytime.
Well, thank you very much for that invitation.
And do check our website, wul.org. Click on Lunchtime Classics. We have a full schedule until the end of May. And I'd like to thank Andrew High, who was our engineer today. We'll see you next time. Thanks for coming.